Just want to clarify what we said yesterday about the fact that women are lacking some element which would cause them to be chayiv in zimun, but they do have the capacity to do zimun b'toras for sure. That's how Rashi is learning it. Now, I would explain it on the basis of the idea of kvius. That's a very significant idea. And with regard to Zimun, you're creating a unit of Shlosha. But the unit of Shlosha only comes about through the phenomenon of kvius. That must be understood. That is to say, it's not just three people that are together. The tziruf and so forth, everything flows through this idea of kvius, which is not easy to translate to find the specific English term that would be equal to it. The terms that come to mind are words like something which is kavua is established, it's set, it's permanent, it's ongoing, as opposed to something which is just passing, transitory. So we could describe it along those lines. But it's an abstract concept, it's a halachic concept, it's a very significant one. So the fact that three people are eating together is really a misnomer. It's not exactly that. Three people get together and have apples together, there's no kvius. It's not a phenomenon of kvius. So you don't have the entity. The entity of Shlosha, which carries out the idea or the mandate of Gadol Ad Hashem Iti, is something which has to come into being. It comes into existence through a phenomenon of an achila shel kvius, which of course has to do with bread. They're eating bread, it's not just the food has to partake of kvius, but the gathering has to partake of kvius too. And that's why we had this whole discussion in terms of what creates the chiyuv. Did they decide to eat together? Did they designate a place to eat together? Or they just came together haphazardly? Is that sufficient? And so on and so forth. All this has to do with the phenomenon of kvius. It's a very significant concept over here. I would say, therefore, that as far as Rashi is learning, that women do not have a chiyuv. It has to do with the factor of the kvius. When it says that mea nushi, akatrei gavri, would mean to say that it doesn't partake of the kvius. It's lacking in the kvius. And I'll just describe, I'll just use descriptive, a little explanatory terms to explain what I mean. Kvius is a abstract phenomenon. You can understand that in order to have kvius, it has to have a certain significance, a certain permanence, and so forth. And those individuals, so to speak, who have the ability to determine a kvius. I'm just using analogies of any organization where you have official meetings. This is an official meeting. That's would correspond to something which is partakes of kvius. It's significant. It's official, as opposed to sometimes people get together, it's an ad hoc kind of a thing. It's not an official. Sometimes even in a shul you have the official meetings, and then something comes up, say after davening, a few people get together and just discuss it. But that's not official. That doesn't partake of the kvius factor. You see? So it would seem that in this area, for example, if you have kids get together, it's not necessarily kvius. So the Gemara talks about ketanim. We'll see about that. That has to be at a certain level. But beneath a certain level, it's not kvius. It's because you have to have a certain type of position, a certain type of an authority, so to speak, to create, to establish a phenomenon of kvius. So it seems that in this, now you take it to a meal. Men, when they get together, and you said if it's designated So that's a kviyas. And women apparently do partake of the kviyas, but not to the same extent. So therefore, since they partake of the kviyas, so you have the phenomenon of zimun. You do have the phenomenon of zimun. But it's not enough to create a union of shlosha. That's what the Gemara is saying. It doesn't matter, even if you have 100. You need two things to create the unit of shlosha. You have to have, of course, the number, but that's irrelevant. These three have to be brought together through the kviyas. So when the kviyas is such that it's not sufficient to create a unit of shlosha for the purpose of birkas hamazon, to create the chiyuv, that's the situation of women. That's the case we're looking for. It's according to Rashi. So then the question arises, absent the unit of shlosha, can you still have zimun in the framework of rishus? My understanding of how Rashi is learning, mea nashi katrei, would mean to say that the creation of the unit of three, it's not just three people getting together. It's three people getting together through the mechanism of a certain type of a kviyas, which comes about through a certain type of achila. And that doesn't exist by women. They're not chashiv, they're not considered to be like three. Why? Because it doesn't have the character of the kviyas. It's lacking in terms of the kviyas. So therefore, it doesn't create the unit of three, of God, Lord, Hashem, Iti. So what's the halacha by them? Equals what? Equals no zimun at all, or equals zimun of rishus. So, since it's equal zimun of rishus, that would be no different than two men. That's exactly what would the same thing. Two men have the kviyas, but it's not a kviyas which creates a unit of shlosha, simply because they don't have three people. So 100 women in a situation of kviyas doesn't create a unit of three because it's lacking in the kviyas to create the unit of three. But they still have zimun, beinam, in terms of rishus. So two men, it's the same thing. They both come out in the same place. Two men obviously don't have a unit of three. And that's our question. Absent a unit of three, can you have the phenomenon of zimun in the framework of rishus? So now you have a perfect analogy. For example, it's being mentioned that the tefillah that one says at the end of Birkas HaMazon, actually the Rambam, we will learn, the Yehi Ratzon, according to the Rambam, really should be incorporated as part of the fourth bracha. The Rambam, it's very clear that you're Mosef in the fourth bracha. Hatov, I made you Mosef the tefillah for the Balabayas. And it really doesn't mention the Baalat Abayas. It doesn't mention the woman, which today people, at least people that know Hebrew and follow along, might take offense to. When here it is, the woman who's doing all the work and cooking and serving, it could seem insensitive. But the context of the bracha is it is a bracha to the Baalat Habayis, it's a bracha to everyone. But it's just a recognition of the way the society functions, that the role of the man was to be the provider. That's why he says that he should be successful in all his endeavors and so on and so forth. So obviously, if he's successful, so the whole family is going to be happy and successful. That's his job. It's talking about the man being successful in terms of the yunachasav, mitzlochem, that is, his properties, his investments and so forth should be successful. And he should have his parnasa and all of that, because he is the provider of the meal. That's the assumption. Of course, if it's a different situation, if there is no man of the house, and the woman is the provider, so the bracha should go to her. It's the Baal HaSuda. It's the one that's really the Baal HaSuda. It's just that it presupposes a certain situation, an ideal situation. You know, the women had her tasks, and then the man had his tasks. So he's the provider. But that helps us to understand, so that the determination of the kviyas would be more something which is in line with the man. I'll just go one little step further in trying to explain how the idea of a person's role affects the function of kviyos, is that it's not everybody's role to be a koveya. For example, you have avadim. And it's not to make a comparison between women and avadim. Actually, the idea of avadim, as we understand it, is a high-level individual. And never, it's another area where people have a complete misunderstanding. How could there be slavery in Judaism? It's because you don't understand the institution of slavery, and you compare it to what took place in America, what you're familiar with. But to the contrary, the Jewish owned slave, the Gentile who's a slave, is on a very high level. He's on the same level in terms of mitzvahs as a Jewish woman, which is a very high level. However, there you could understand that he's not a baal, so to speak, a master with regard to kviyas, because there is a certain subservience that he has. It's subservience. He's not in control. So kviyas, to be a koveya, is really the one who's got the control to determine the kviyas. This is when we're going to be eating. This is the meal. It has to do, insofar as kviyas partakes of designation. So the designated times when we have the Sa'uda, that's something which apparently, that's the men, that's the real kviyas. And of course, women partake of kviyas, but it's a different type of a kviyas. Thus, the Havmina was that, as far as women are concerned, since we don't have Shlosha, and the reason why we don't have Shlosha is because you don't have the kviyas to create the Shlosha. That is lacking. So therefore, you're left with the situation which would be equivalent to two men. And indeed, the Pesach seems to be, so it's Rishus, that it's a matter of Rishus. What's the Maskana? The Maskana is pretty much what we said yesterday, the same thing. That there's two concepts in Shlosha. One is to create the unit. There's an entity. And the other one is simply ribui deos, that the zimun, the idea of shlosha and its relationship to zimun is not simply with regard to creating a special unit of shlosha, but it's simply the ribui deos of shlosha. That is also included in the idea of gadol Hashem iti. So therefore, you, even though you're correct that with regard to mei anoshi, it's katrei in one respect it's katrei in the sense that it doesn't create the unit. But in another respect, it's not the same, because the phenomenon of ribui deos, the quantitative phenomenon of how many praises are being joined together, is different. That you need at least three. So you don't need 100 women. What you need for the zimun of rishus is ribui deos, and ribui deos is three, must be at least three. And now we're going to turn to Tosfos. V'hamei anoshi kitrei gavri damyan. Tosfos says, l'inyan kibbutz tefila, with regard to gathering together for the tefila, v'le'inyan kol dava shebasara, and with regard to anything that requires 10, as I just mentioned, a minyan, with regard to any matter that would require 10. V'yafilu achi chashvinu lehu kishlosha. And even so, they're considered to be like three. V'hu adin l'shnayim. And the same would be true of two. Aval lo motzi l'meimar kachad damyan. But you couldn't say that like chai. I mean, logically, according to the logic of his position, Meya should be like one. He stops at two. Why? Because that wouldn't make any sense to say that. The Einon Yecholos Lazame. Because then they couldn't do Zimun. In other words, you're not interested. It's true. It's theoretically, it's true. It's like one. But we're talking in the framework of Zimun, and by definition, Zimun requires at least two. So to say that like one would be meaningless. V'hakatani noshim mezamnos liatzman. Because we learned noshim are mezamnos liatzman. According to the Havamina, the way Tosis is understanding noshim mezamnos liatzman, and the question is being raised. So then that's what he's saying. It's really like chad. But it doesn't say chad because it says mezamnos, and mezamnos implies at least more than one. But according to the Havamina, the idea of Tosfos two would be sufficient. Two women would be able to be mezamim. Well, obviously, because there'd be no difference between two women and two men. Then he quotes Rashi. V'Rashi pirish katrei l'inyin chova. V'ein chayavos l'zamein. V'im ratzo mezamnos. V'uadin l'shnayim. All right, he just quotes Rashi. According to Tosfos, Tosfos says that women, for whatever reason, do not partake of the quality which I would label as tziruf. Tziruf, that is to say, you could have 20 people gathered, but that's just 20 individuals. You could have 10. Let's talk about 10. When you have 10 men coming together, they're no longer individuals. They join together and form a unit. Now it's a unit of asara. A unit of asara is not the same thing as just 10 individuals. They band together and they form a unit. That's not true of everybody. People have to have the certain characteristic that enables that to take place. So therefore, you can't assign a number. There's no difference between 10 women and 3 women, or even 2. It's the same thing, you don't add anything. When you bring together more women, you don't add anything, as you would when you brought together men. For example, if you bring together 10 men, you'd have a million. So they join together and form a unit. But other than that, well, for example, you have the same phenomenon by 9 men. There's no difference between 9 men and 2 men. It's just individuals. You're just counting individuals, but you're not banding together. There's no tziruf. If that's the case, I'm going to Tosfos, since we've ruled out women from this whole phenomenon of tziruf, whenever they gather together, it's just a number. So then, there's no difference between 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. And we see mezamnos. So what do you see? What is mezamnos contingent upon? More than one, basically. Pluralism. Plurality, whatever term you want to use. I don't like to use the word pluralism. It's simpler, in my opinion, to understand it the way Tosfos learns. Because since they never join together, you're just talking about, and they can do zimun, mezamnos. So then you see that for zimun, all you need is plurality. When you have a situation of E.T., even though it's not 3. God, there's 2 ideas in Gavash Amiti. One is the number 3. The other is E.T., together, to join together and praise God. Joining together and praising God would seem from this to be the essence of what creates the basis of Zeman. You could have Zeman. The Chiyav, of course, comes from the phenomenon of Shlosha. If you have a unit of Shlosha, which is Gavash Amiti, that unit creates the Chiyav. But sometimes you don't have that. And that's the question of 2. That was what we said, the question of 2. Is it possible to have Zimun just by the mere factor of E.T., of joining together and praising God in Birkas HaMazon? That was the very question. So we found the case. The case of women, all you have is the phenomenon of joining together. But you don't have the phenomenon of Shlosha. The Maskana, of course, is going to be that Shani Hasam Ikadeus. That, fine, you may say that, but it's not simply the joining together. There's number is a factor. Zimun is contingent upon number of people who join together. So women, the answer is only when it's 3. They have 3. So Mayanashi has something that 2 men do not have. That is, they have 3. And the phenomenon of Zeman is contingent upon the joining together, the ribui deos of three. That's another aspect that we learn from Gadol HaShemiti, and it's the same answer we gave when we were learning according to Rashi. Next Tosfos, Shani Hasam the Ikud Deos. Mikan Mashma, the Noshim Yecholos Lazamein La'atzman. From here it appears that women can be Mazamein for themselves. That's pretty clear. Because it says Shlosha, it doesn't say Shlosha, excuse me. It says Noshim Mazamein La'atzman. So it's very clear. V'chein asu b'nos Rabbeinu Avraham. Chamav shel Rabbeinu Yehuda. And thus did Rabbeinu Avraham, the father-in-law of Rabbeinu Yehuda, al pi avihen, on the basis of their father, the daughters of Zimun. So now he's setting a case. Umihu lo nahagu ha'olam kein. However, the world is not knowing this way. V'kasha amai lo nahagu, and it's difficult. The question is, why not? Midiktani mizamnos. Since it says mizamnos, mashma deka omar chayavos lazamin. It's mashma that it's saying that the chayav in zimun. V'yesh loma, the nashim mizamnos li atzman, haynu imratzu lazamin mizamnos. So now Tosfos is saying that this is what Rashi. Rashi learned approach to Gemara. That it was Rishus. Now Tosis, but Tosis didn't approach that way. Tosis held that it's the Mazamnos is Bataras Chiv. There was nothing in it that forced him to say that women are not in the framework of Chiv. So now he's saying that perhaps it means that it's only Rishus. V'chein mashma k'tzas haloshon mitakatani b'samach. And he says the language of the Mishnah implies, because it says Noshim v'avadim imratzu l'zamein ein mezamein. That is to say, why did it say imratzu? If they're mechuyav, so then it shouldn't say Imratzu, it should simply say that they can't. No, they can't. They can't. Well, I mean, that's a question. If they had a Chiyav, would the factor of Pritzus uproot the Chiyav? The other Rishonim talk about that. But the mere fact that it says Imratzu, according to Tosfos, implies that it's not really a Chiyav. Because what do you mean Imratzu? But if you're saying the whole thing is a Rishus, then there's no Chiyav. So then the only question arises, when is Ratzu? So that's what does Imratzu. He says that fits into his position. The ode, the Madama Le Hagmar L'Shnayim. That's a very strong raya. Moreover, it's being compared to two. And two, the entire question of two, is with regard to Rishus. Mashma Dechov Aleka. It implies that there is no Chiyuv. Question is being raised. This last point that Tosfos made seems to be very definitive and conclusive. Well, once we see that the Gemara compared women to two men in order to establish that two men are permitted to do Zimun, but that's a situation of Rishus. Because everybody knows that two men is only, the whole issue is Rishus. No one's suggesting the possibility of a Chiyuv. Now, once you said that Mei Anoshi could trade Gavri with regard to Zimun, so it has to be, like Rashi says, it has to be Rishus. It would seem that way. However, that itself is not the end of the story. Why isn't the end of the story? Because that is something called a Hava Amina. But now that you have the Maskana, the Maskana removes the idea of Mei Anoshi Ketrei Gavri, and now it's not true that Mei Anoshi Ketrei Gavri. Now Me'anoshi is Kishlosha Gavri. Ooh. And therefore, once we've established Deos, it's quite possible to say that they have a Chiv. Because whenever you have Deos, you have a Chiv.
No, because even
it's not by men you don't have Deos, so you have nothing. By Shlosha you have Deos. And that's the point, is that sufficient to create Chiv? It's clearly not an absolute proof. There's no absolute proof over here that just because the Gemara made the comparison of 100 to, you know, women to two men, that women are only in the framework of Rishus. That's why Tosfos is just using it as a possibility, as a raya to a position, as an indicator. He's not using it as an absolute proof. But since the Gemara begins that way, one can say that. He's just bringing it as a series of indicators, but it's not an absolute proof. Otherwise, there'd be nothing to talk about. And as I've shown you, it can't be an absolute proof, because that was what Rashi maintained, or what Tosfos is maintaining now, before the Gemara had the idea of Ribui Deos of Shlosha, which the Maskan introduced. The difference between Tosfos and Rashi is comparing it to men, to women, is because he's learning that women are Rishus. According to Tosfos, the comparison to women is not because women are Rishus. The comparison is because they don't partake of number in terms of the tziruf. So no matter how many you add, you don't have anything more than if you had two. It's like two. It's equal to two. And that's why the comparison. However, after you made that comparison, and think of all the consequences of that comparison, it should follow that the 100 women also would be Rishos. For that very reason, because just like two men are Rishos, so too, 100 women should be Rishos. Okay, but that's the Hava Amina. That is the Hava Amina. That's what Tosfos is saying now. So all you have is the Hava Amina, which is an indicator, but it could be after the... Then now we have to know after the Maskana. When the Maskana says, Ribui Deos of Shlosha, it's then very possible to say that Ribui Deos of Shlosha is sufficient to create Chiv. There's nothing which forces you at this point in time to say that women, even after the fact, are Rishos. Why? They're Shlosha. The idea of Gadol Hashem Iti applies to a case of three people even that don't partake of the phenomenon of Tziruf. So therefore it could be B'toras Chiv. There's no indication that it's only Rishos. You could say that, well, the Hava Amina, is founded on the idea of treating it like Rishos. True. But now, what about the Maskana? Take a look at the Meiri. In our booklet, says page 87. In the pages of the Meiri, it's page 165. The Meiri, Mikol Mokom Linyan Bir, Masha Shehikshu, Minashim is Amas Leatzman, etc. Vahanashim, Mea Kibetray, etc. Kach Pirush, this is the Pirush. Mea Kibetray, 100 is like 2. Uvadai ein chov aleihem, and certainly there can't be a chiv on them. Ela rishus, but rishus. V'im kain who adin l'shtoyim. So if that's the case, that's the same as two. He's saying the same thing as Tosfos, that the amount of women gathered together will not effectuate a change. You're not going to create a new entity. So all you basically have is more than one. So it's like two. So it's like two men. But he adds that it's going to be, it can't be chov. It's very difficult at this point in time to see how anybody could possibly learn the question of the Gemara on the assumption that women are b'toras chov and still compare it to two men. The tirates and the Gemara answer shani ha some ikad deos. V'chova ka'amar ho'olum iskaimus behem hasra me'achas l'shtayim. What he means by hasra me'achas l'shtayim would be based upon the other pasuk. When I call out the name of God, you give praise. 1 to 2. So, perhaps, again, he based himself on this pasuk, there were two psukim. We explain the difference. Or, Gadol Hashem Iti, whatever. That doesn't matter. He's saying the basic objective of ribui deos is achieved, and that is sufficient to create a chiyuv. So clearly, according to the Meiri, after all is said and done, what you emerge with is nashim mezamnos liatzman. Three women who ate together are chayiv lezamin, according to him. So at this point in time, we see that there's a machlokas between Tosfos and the Meiri. There's other Rishon, you should see the Rush, with regard to the conclusion. After all is said and done, are women in the category of Zimim only Batoras Vishus, or are they Chayiv Lazamein as well? That's a machloka so far. Let's continue with Tosfos. Vahadikama Beresh Erchin. Tosfos is dealing with all the problems that he has to deal with. And I think this is very significant. Hakol mechuyav b'zimun. That all are mechuyav in zimun. Lasuye nashim. To hakol. So what's the hakol? Hakol always comes to, it's an inclusive category. Le'inya is, so it's lasuye nashim. It means to include nashim. So l'chor it means that they're mechuyav. L'inyan Rishus Ka'amar. So he's saying that the term mechuyav in here is not meant to be taken literally, but rather it means they're in the command of Zimun, but within the framework of Rishus. L'inyan Rishus Ka'amar. V'lo l'inyan Chova, but not that they have a chiyav. What Tosfos is saying over here is that the expression hakol mechuyavin in a certain thing, in Zimun for example, and then it's l'yisuye, a group, The mechuyavin term does not necessarily mean when you're including the group that group has to have a chiyuv, but it can mean they're included in the category and in the framework of rishus. That's what Tosfos is saying. The reason it's choosing mechuyav is because the general idea is chiyuv, that zimun is a chiyuv. But in the course of doing so, it brings in other groups who are in the framework of zimun without the chiyuv. So Hakol Mechuyavin doesn't have to be translated literally, everybody has a chiyuv. But everybody is in the framework of Zimun, and since essentially those who are included do have a chiyuv, that's why it uses the term Mechuyavin. V'nashim tzorech iyun, im yotzos bebirkas hazimun shel anashim. Now he comes to the question. Where women, can they be yotzei in the Birka Zimun of men? So I'll take a simple case where you have one woman or two women. Well, whatever, I mean, and there's men, and there's enough men to create a Zimun. The typical situation on a Friday night at a Sa'uda where there's at least three men, and there's a Zimun, and they have some women. So what do? Do they bench privately, or are they included in the Zimun? Me'achar she'ein mevinos. Since they don't understand. So the presumption is he's talking about women that don't understand the meaning of the bracha. Thus, you could make the deduction that everything Tosfos is saying only applies to women that don't understand. The women that that are educated, that know Hebrew, wouldn't apply to. But let us talk about that. Well, by the way, according to this, one can ask another question. What about men that don't understand? The yesh may be in raya she yotzos. There are those who bring a raya that they can be yotzei with the birkas hazimun. Mid the amar lekaman, since it says later on, sofer mevarech ubur yotzei. That is a case where there's two. One is a scholar and one is a ignoramus. So you don't have zimun, but then one person should say the birkas hamazon and the other one should be yotzei through his birkas hamazon. That's not Zimun, but it's in the framework of that Shomei Ka'ona, that you can be Yosei through somebody else's bracha, provided both people have it in mind. Mikan mash, masha afanashim yotzos, bebirkas hamazon, shalanu. That is to say, so what is the sofer? Is the one who has knowledge, and the bur is an ignoramus. He can't make the bracha, would seem. So therefore, he should be Yosei with the other person's bracha. So they bring a raya, so you're saying women, generally speaking, in those days, weren't educated, didn't know what the bracha was. And so you see from that case that those who are not educated can be yotze. Mashma she'af anashim yotzeos b'birkas hamazon shelanu. It's mashma that women too can be yotze with our birkas hamazon. Mihu yesh litchos os araya. However, he says one can push aside that raya. The shani bur, the bur is different. Shemavin b'loshin hakodesh, because he understands Hebrew. V'yodei k'tas maiko omar, and he knows a little bit what's being said. Aval eino yodea levarech, but he doesn't know how to say the bracha. Aval noshim she'eino and mevinos klal, but women who don't understand at all. Motzi lemeimar, one can say, one can argue, lo nafki, that they're not yotze. This is very, very difficult. Tosis now seems to be making a distinction, which we, at least on the surface, you don't see the distinction, because if you're gonna posit that in order to be included in the mechanism of Shemek Ona, you have to understand what's being said. Oh, that's valid. That's an issue. That's obviously one of the issues. It doesn't seem that way from the Rambam, that one needs to know what's being said. But all right, you can make a case for that. And therefore, what he's saying is that women who don't understand can't be in that category. And again, as the Tosfos is making it clear, it has nothing to do with women. The same would apply to a man. Or a woman that did understand would be included. It's just a question of those who understand. But one second. Tosfos now has to deal with the case. It's very, very apriah. Sofer, Mevarech, Ubur Yotze. The Bur is Yotze. And the Bur is someone who is ignorant. Thus ostensibly establishing the fact that understanding of what's being said is not a requirement for the phenomenon of Shemei Ka'onet. Now Tosis introduces a distinction which, at least on the surface, seems to be kind of hazy. I mean, make up your mind, Mamadashak, one way or the other. He says, no, a little bit of understanding. Then I'm going to differentiate between someone who doesn't understand anything at all and someone who knows a little bit of Lashon HaKodesh and understands Ksas. That, you see, that kind of thing becomes very, very difficult. It's one thing to say that you have to understand, but that should be categorical. Or to say, you don't need to understand. That's Shemei Ka'onet, that's how it works. But to say that the partial understanding, at least if you understand a little bit, that's okay, that's very hard. What's your position? Where does that come from? That is one of the difficult aspects of Tosis. But then it gets even more interesting. He goes further because there's a case that seems to contradict, absolutely and categorically contradict what he's saying. And Tosis, of course, is going to cite that case. And that case is, the Amrinim of Megillah, we learn something in Megillah. In terms of, everybody's Yotzei Megillah in the framework of Shemei Ka'onet. And how many people, even though we know Lashon HaKodesh, how many people understand? How many people understand what's being read in the Megillah at the time the Megillah is being read, are listening and understanding it? And what about something else? Let's forget about that. Lashon HaKodesh. What about listening to the Megillah in a different language? Can you be Yotze the Megillah if it's translated into English? Yeah. In terms of a foreign language, it's only if you understand that language. No, but in terms of Hebrew, it doesn't matter. The Gemara is very clear that someone who reads the Megillah or listens to the Megillah in a different language, you yotze only if you know that language. But if you heard it in Hebrew, it doesn't matter whether you know the language or not. And how will you yotze? Shemei Ka'onet. But you don't know Hebrew. So that's a very powerful raya against Tosfos. And Tosfos, of course, cites the raya. How am I going to deal with that case? So Tosfos' answer is, Shani. I'm sorry. He quotes Loe Shashama Ashuris Yatza. That someone who speaks a foreign language, who heard it in Hebrew, was Yotze, because Hebrew is universal. He says, Pirsumei Nisa Bialma Shani. That's Pirsumei Nisa, so it's different. That is to say, the reading of the Megillah is in the framework of Pirsumei, to publicize the miracle, in just the same way as Ner Chanukah is Pirsumei Nisa. So that's the answer. Kedi Amrinan Hasam, as we say there. One of the terms in the Megillah is Hachashtaranim B'nei Haramachim. The Gemara says, Miyadin and Mainil, nobody knows. We don't even know what it's talking about. So there are certain terms in the Megillah that apparently, with time, people lost the meaning. So we don't know what it means. If that's the case, how are we, Yotze? So that's his justification. Any questions that have to be dealt with over here, it's not that simple an answer. It's true, it is, that it's Pirsumei Nisa, but one second, but there is a mitzvah to read the Megillah, and there is a mitzvah to if you can't read it, so you fulfill it through listening. What's listening? Shemei Kahana. I mean, so what are we talking about? Very nice. It's Pirsumei Nisa. Just because it's Pirsumei Nisa changes all the rules, how is that different than Birkas HaMazon? That is, are you utilizing the mechanism of Shemei Kahana or not by Megillah? And if you are using the mechanism, so then why should it be different than in the case of a Birkas HaMazon, where you're going to tell me that you have to understand? That's one of the problems. Of course, if that's the case, you could ask the question, so then why, if it's read in a foreign language, is you have to understand that language. It's Pirsumei Nisa. And as I said before, the distinction that Tosfos introduces between women, so to speak, that is, women over here just reflect someone that doesn't understand the bracha at all, and between a brewer who doesn't know every word but has a general idea. So what kind of distinction is that? Putting the question a different way about Pirsumei Nisa. How do you have Pirsumei Nisa? Through Kriyas HaMegillah. So if you didn't read the Megillah, if this is not considered reading, so then how does the answer of Pirsumei Nisa affect it? Unless you're telling me that it's you don't need Shomei HaKahuna, which is very difficult.
Got me
off your kind of
just like on the last stages of the
reveal. So they're going to Yom Kippur.